Anytime that you turn on the TV, open the newspaper, look on the internet, you see a lot of evil, oppression, and injustice. We think of the atrocities that are going on over in Syria right now as people flee for their lives from their own land that they've loved and held dear. Think about the atrocities of ISIS, where they murder women and children mercilessly in mass graves and seek out specifically those that claim the name of Christ to kill them. And just today we heard of a university over in Pakistan that was invaded and attacked by the Taliban. And even here or elsewhere, we have riots and unrest here in our own country. Just recently this past summer in Baltimore, in Missouri, unrest and violence all around us. And then we come even closer to home in our own neighborhood. I saw this picture. I asked Christy if that was our front door, because we have a bullet hole in our front door. We have such violence and senseless acts of wickedness. This is our neighborhood where the church is, the Jordan neighborhood. This is the church right here. And this is one of the most recent police reports. We have burglary, we have armed robbery, we have assaults, grand theft. Fortunately, there were no shootings this week. But the highest percentage of shootings in the entire city of Minneapolis happen in our neighborhood. So much violence, so much wickedness. And on top of that, some would say that our justice system is anything but that. It is an injustice system. And so where do we go when we have difficulties and struggles like this? Who do we turn to? The psalmist in Psalm 10 has similar complaints and concerns. Let's read through this psalm so that we can hear what he says, and then we'll look more specifically at some points that he makes. He says, starting in verse 1, talking to God, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts in his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. For all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall never be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the village. In the secret places, he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws them into his net. So he crouches. He lies low that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account. But you have seen. For you observe trouble and grief to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You have prepared their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. Do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more." As we read through this, it sounds like he's referencing things that we would hear on the nightly news of oppression and injustice. The first thing that we learn from this psalm is that when we face any type of trouble, difficulty or have complaint against anything in our world, our first response should be to tell our problem to God. God is not a God who is far off, but a God who is near and wants to hear of our struggles. What are the complaints that the psalmist brings to God? Specifically, it's that wicked people defy God. Look in verses 2 through 4. Well, verse 1 gives the overall main complaint. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? It seems that God is not to be found when we're facing difficulty and in the face of wickedness. Verses 2 through 4, he says that the wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. He says, let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts in his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces God. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. It's almost like he says, there is no God. I don't even acknowledge God. And yet he still prospers. This man on the right here, Richard Dawkins, has written several books defying the existence of God. And this particular picture, he had a whole bus campaign over in England. It says, there's probably no God. Now stop worrying and enjoy your life. That's his motto. And so we bring complaints to God, say, God, people do not regard you. People do not acknowledge that you are God, but we know you are God. And in each one of these prayers or sections of prayer that the psalmist make, he sends out a request. We see that in verse 2 where he says, let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. So wicked people disregard God, but if that weren't bad enough for us, wicked people seem to prosper. It's almost like they're a vulture that preys on death and destruction. And that's how they get their liveliness and their satisfaction in life. Verses 5 through 7 has this idea of the wicked prospering. It says, his ways are always prospering. And part of that is, in the next stanza, it says, your judgments are far above, out of his sight. He can't even comprehend the thoughts of God, and yet he is still prospering in his wickedness. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. And this is the wicked's mentality in verse 6. He says in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. I'm going to have clear sailing all the way through. And for us who are following Christ, striving to do what's right, and we face the difficulties and the persecution, or just the daily struggles of life, we look at the wicked and we say, how can they be prospering when they have such disregard and defiance for God? God, where are you in these times? And then on top of a defiance of God, a prospering in their wickedness, they take even a further step. We see in verses 7 through 11 that they flaunt this injustice. They revel in it. Verse 7 says that his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. The very words out of his mouth oppress those that are around them. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. And verses 8 through 11 especially capture this in an incredible picture of a lion stalking its prey. Starting in verse 8, the psalmist says, he sits in the lurking places of the village. In the secret places, he murders the innocent, those who have done no wrong. He seeks them out. His eyes, they're secretly fixed on the helpless. He's stalking those that cannot help themselves. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. Even in this, the cowardice of the wicked, he attacks those that cannot help themselves, those that are helpless. And I think that this picture of a lion stalking their prey is very, very poignant. Back in 2012, Christy and I had the opportunity to go to Kenya. And while we were out there doing some missions work, we got to go on a safari. And we didn't see any lions, unfortunately. But while we were out there, there was at one point we stopped for lunch. And when you're out on safari, you don't have picnic tables or rest areas. You just stop in the middle of the grass and you get out and you have your lunch. So we were out there and then I decided to take a walk down this trail. And in Africa, they have grass, really, really tall grass. Like an elephant could hide in the grass tall. And so I started walking down this path and there was grass on either side. The road was about as wide as the pews here. And I walked down. If the van was here, I walked maybe to where Jim is. And I just got this really creepy feeling. Because I couldn't see what was out there. And I knew there was stuff out there. Because we had been watching it all day. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go back to the truck. And so I turned around and I climbed back in the truck. I was like, okay, that's enough for me. I'm done. But those that are suffering from injustice don't always have a truck to run to. They're out there walking the streets day after day, driving around, living in our neighborhood, and the wicked oppress them. They come in stalking like a lion and pounce on them when they have no recourse. And the cry here in verse 11 is very interesting, that it can be taken as the oppressor saying that God has forgotten. He doesn't care about these people. He doesn't care about you and your helplessness. He's forgotten you. He hides his face. He's never going to see it. Or it could be taken as that of the oppressed, in despair and despondency, saying, God, you have forgotten. You're hiding your face. God, are you even going to see the struggles that I'm having right now? And I think that it's intentional that way. So in the midst of all of this, we're surrounded with wickedness. We see it every day. We experience it ourselves. And so what is the answer to this? If I were out in the grass, I couldn't fight a lion. Those that are helpless and being oppressed, they can't fight the oppressor. So where do we go from here? Where is the truck that we run to for safety? Well, that's in verses 12 through 18, that the response is to trust God. This is a picture of a vacation that we had, and it was Lorna's first time in a pool. And it was too deep for her, but there was a little ledge that she could walk on. But she didn't want to come out into the water. It was too much for her. She had to trust her dad that it was going to be okay. And in a similar way, we have to trust God that it's going to be okay. Life doesn't always look good. Justice doesn't always look like justice right now. But what does the psalmist say in verses 12 through 15? He says this very important truth that nothing escapes God's notice. God sees what's going on. Starting in verse 12, the psalmist cries out, "Arise, O Lord! O God, lift up your hand! Do not forget the humble! Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, 'You will not require an account,' but you have seen. For you observe trouble and grief." God takes note of it. It's like he has a notebook, and he's noting every injustice, every grief, every sorrow, every trouble. Nothing escapes God's sight. And he doesn't write it down just for the sake of writing it down so he can have a collection of all of our problems. He writes it down for this reason in verse 14, to repay it by your hand. God himself will repay every wrong and injustice and oppression that has ever taken place since the beginning of time. It says in the end of verse 14, the helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness or call his wickedness to account until there is no more. That is the prayer of justice of the songwriter. So nothing is going to escape God's notice. But it's not enough that God just sees things and notes them. God will judge. And God does judge. The last verses of this song show that no one can outlast God's justice. No one. Wicked men may last for a while here on earth. Regimes may last for decades, but no one outlasts God. Verse 16, the Lord is King, how long? Forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. When there are no more nations left on the earth, God will still reign forever and ever. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their hearts. You will cause your ear to hear. It's the idea of this close communion where those that are in trouble and distress, God comes down and listens personally. What is your distress? What is your crisis? Tell me. I am here to help. And then the purpose is in verse 18, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. That is what all of time is coming toward. A time where there will be no more sorrow, no more oppression, and no more injustice, because God himself will reign. And we can look forward to that time with great hope and with great anticipation. But until that day, we can trust God that he will take care of us. Lorna ended up trusting, and she had a blast. Now, this was a little 3-foot wading pool. Our problems in life are much greater than a 3-foot wading pool. They're very serious, life-consuming. But you know what? To God, it's a 3-foot wading pool for him. He's got it in control. He's got the whole world in his hands. So the injustice that we see on a daily basis, the oppression and wickedness, whether it's a violence in your own backyard or a crisis halfway across the world, God is in control. We can trust him because he will make it right. He does see and he does hear. So let's trust him with that. Let's go to him in prayer.